Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today.
Shalom, this is Harriet and I will be your reader today. And today we have Sunday, the 17th of March, or the 7th of Adar 2, or the 2nd. On the Hebrew calendar. This new week, we have a new parasha, and it's called Vayikra, and it means, and he called. And we are starting a new book in the Torah. We're starting on Leviticus, which is also in Hebrew, Vayikra, and we will read chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 13. Today in history, we have the birth of Moses, or Moshe, according to tradition. Exodus 2, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Today is also, according to tradition, the death of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 34. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. So before we start reading our scriptures today, we will bless the Lord and thank him for his word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples, through his Son, Yeshua the Mashiach, our Master. Now the Lord called to Moshe and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you may present your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his sacrifice is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to present a male without blemish. He is to offer it at the entrance of the tent of meeting, so that he may be accepted before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, so that it will be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He is to slaughter the bull before the Lord. Then Aharon's sons, the Kohanim, are to present the blood and splash it around the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aharon the Kohen are to place fire on the altar and arrange wood upon the fire. Then Aharon's sons, the Kohanim, shall arrange the pieces, the head, and the fat upon the wood that is on the fire, which is atop the altar. But its innards and its legs he is to wash with water. The Kohen should burn it all up as smoke on the altar, for a burnt offering made by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. If his sacrifice is from the flock, from the sheep or from the goats, for a burnt offering, he should bring a male without blemish. He is to slaughter it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. Aharon's sons, the Kohanim, are to splash its blood around on the altar. He is to cut it into pieces with its head and its fat. The Kohen should then arrange them upon the wood that is on the fire that is atop the altar. But the innards and the legs he is to wash with water. The Kohen is to offer it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering made by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. That was Leviticus 1:1-13. And now, in our portion from the prophets, we have started to read from the book of Isaiah or Yeshayahu, and today we will read chapter 2. The word which Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house will stand firm as head of the mountains and will be exalted above the hills. So all nations will flow to it. Then many peoples will go and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Then he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths." For Torah will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and decide for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, for they are filled with soothsayers from the east, and they have clapped hands with the children of foreigners. Their land also is full of silver and gold, nor is there any limit to their treasures. Their land also is full of horses, nor is there any limit to their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their hands, what their own fingers have made. So humanity bows down as each one lowers himself. Pardon them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The man of haughty eyes is humbled, the lofty ones brought low. For the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord Tzvaot will be against anyone proud and haughty. Against anyone lifted up, he will be humbled. Against all the cedars of Lebanon, they are lofty and lifted up. Against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the high mountains, against all the exalted hills, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the Tashish ships, and against all the luxury boats. The pride of man will be humbled, the arrogance of men abased, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The idols will completely pass away. People will go into the caves of the rocks and into the holes of the earth because of the fear of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made to worship, to the moles and to the bats. They go into the clefts of the rocks and the crevices of the crags because of fear of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth. Stop trusting in mankind, whose breath is in his nose, for what is he really worth? That was Isaiah chapter 2. Now from the portion of the writings, we will read Psalm or Tehillim 142. A contemplative poem of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. With my voice I seek favor from the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, you know my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look at my right hand and see, for no one cares about me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my soul. I have cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am brought very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so I may praise your name. The righteous will triumph through me, for you will reward me. That was Psalm 142. Now our last portion of scriptures, the apostolic writings, and we will read Acts chapter 9. Now Shaul, still breathing out threats and murder against the Lord's disciples, went to the Kohen Gadol. He requested letters of introduction from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women belonging to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Shaul said. I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Shaul got up from the ground, but opening his eyes, he could see nothing. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he could not see, and he did not eat or drink. Now there was a disciple named Hananiah in Damascus. The Lord said to him, Hananiah. He said, Here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street named Straight, and ask in the house of Yehuda for someone from Tarsus named Shaul. For look, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Hananiah coming in and laying his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Hananiah answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your Kedushim in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the ruling Kohanim to tie up all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a choice instrument to carry my name before nations and kings and Bnei Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Hananiah left and entered into the house. Laying hands on Shaul, he said, Brother Shaul, the Lord, Yeshua, the one who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Immediately, something like scales fell from Shaul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was immersed, and when he had taken food, he was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples in Damascus. Immediately he began proclaiming Yeshua in the synagogue, saying, He is Ben Elohim. All those hearing him were amazed. They were saying, Isn't this the one who made havoc in Jerusalem for all those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to bring them as prisoners before the ruling Kohanim? But Shaul kept growing stronger, and he was confounding the Jewish people living in Damascus by proving that Yeshua is the Mashiach. When many days had passed, these Jewish people plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Shaul. They were watching the gates day and night to kill him. But the disciples took Shaul by night and let him down over the wall, lowering him in a basket. When Shaul arrived in Jerusalem, he made attempts to join up with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him in and brought him to the emissaries. He described to them how Shaul had seen the Lord on the road, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how he had spoken boldly in the name of Yeshua. So Shaul was with them, going in and out in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He was speaking and arguing with the Hellenists, but they were trying to kill him. When the brothers found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So Mashiach's community throughout all Yehuda and Galil and Shomron had shalom and was built up. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh, it kept multiplying. Kepha went here and there among them all. He came down as well to the Kedushim living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years. He was paralyzed. Kepha said to him, "Aeneas, Mashiach Yeshua heals you. Get up and pack up your bed." Immediately he got up. All who lived in Lydda and the plain of Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translates Dorcas. She was full of mitzvot and staka, which she continually did. In those days, she became ill and died. When they had washed her for burial, they placed her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Kepha was there, sent two men to him, begging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Kepha got up and went with them. When he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. All the widows were crying, showing all the tunics and other clothing Dorcas has made while she was with them. But Kepha sent them all outside, and he got down on his knees and prayed. Then, turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Kepha, she sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called the Kedushim and widows and presented her alive. It became known throughout Joppa, and many came to believe in the Lord. So it happened that Kepha stayed on in Joppa for several days with Shimon, a tanner. That was Acts chapter 9. And if you're reading through the apostolic writings twice this year, you would also read the book of Revelation chapter 3 today. Revelation chapter 3. This has been Harriet, and I am so privileged and blessed to be able to read the Word of God for you. I pray that it will be an encouragement for you as you start this new week. Pray for a Shavua Tov, a blessed new week, and Shalom from Israel until next time.